Good morning. I have some things to write on the board, and it will take me just a little bit. Let's sing 220. This song is in line with some of my thoughts today on Jesus Christ and his birth and all the way up to his ministry. This song would help us with those thoughts. So while we're singing this, I'll be writing on the board. Let's rise to sing it. 220. Luke, would you start this song for us? Thank you for being in our lives, Lord, and for being a faithful God. We pray you would look on us today as we talk about you, Father. We pray for your holiness to be in our lives, Father, and that we could exemplify you in everything we do. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming on this earth and walking like a baby and a boy, and also like a man, and your fame was spread abroad. Heavenly Father, pray you would bless these thoughts today unto you and help us to understand them, to listen to them, Lord, and thank you for your precious word. Most of all, help us to get in line with that and be changed if we need to according to it. In your holy name, Lord, we ask these requests. May you have all the honor and the glory. Amen. You may be seated. The title for today's thoughts: what thing is this? We can turn to Mark 1. What thing is this? That is found in Mark 1, verse 27. The Gospels, when they talk about the Lord Jesus, Matthew starts out with his genealogy. The Gospel writer was establishing where Jesus comes from. And so he used genealogy. It wasn't endless. You can read for a while and you'll get to the end. It was not endless genealogy, but it was a long one. And he established where Jesus Christ came from. The Gospel of Mark, if you notice, he establishes where Jesus came from by, and we'll read it, by mentioning the prophets. Particularly, he talks about Isaiah or John the Baptist. And he's making a case, where did Jesus come from? Luke establishes it by talking about eyewitnesses first and including himself, and he's a scribe writing for those that were close to Jesus. And he describes the political scene. The fourth gospel writer, John, starts in. When he's talking about the Lord Jesus, he said, the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. He starts just by talking about God himself. Mark is the shortest gospel according to chapters, and so if you read it, from one angle, it's missing a lot of things, but from another angle, it actually gives a very quick overview or summary. So I'd like to read through Mark 1 till verse 27. Let's read there in Mark 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem. And they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. He did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes, that's his string, I'm not worthy to touch his strings, to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, is full, ready. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace. Come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? It's the title for today. What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. We'll read one more verse. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. The first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talk about his fame. What was making his fame was his authority. Authority is the sense or the ability, from Greek, privilege, force, capacity, competency, delegated influence. Jesus Christ was put under the influence of God. He was delegated to be there, delegated to do that. He had the competency, he had the capacity to do what he was called to do. And that is how he started his ministry. So he had these 30 years, it says in Luke, as was supposed. He was 30 years old when he was baptized, or right in that area. And his ministry started bearing fruit. Where I would like to go with this today is, if you think of fruit, someone bearing some fruit, think of like pineapples. They take 2 or 3 years to bear a fruit. And that first stalk, actually, I did a little bit of reading online just to familiarize myself with the pineapples. It doesn't take 7 years like the pineapple story, unless you're very selfish. But it only takes 2 or 3 years, and there is fruit. And those little stalks are making, it's in the air plant family, not sure what all that means, but there's these little other stalks coming off the stalks, and you can trim those off and put them back in the ground. So you can actually start creating pineapples every year, but you need to know what you're doing. And you can just make a whole garden full of pineapples that way. But it takes a few years for the first sweet fruit to come. That's bearing fruit. Jesus' ministry was bearing fruit. If there's something I would like to see today that I was inspired with and convicted about is, do I see the fruit in my brother's life or in my sister's life? Do I see fruit coming out? And do I realize what it took to make that fruit? Those are thoughts I had. So we've read Mark 1 through 28. It talks about the fullness of time. I don't know where I had seen that. Jesus said that in verse 15, the time is fulfilled. Fullness means when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. This is Galatians 4:4. We don't need to, I have many verses scattered throughout, but the main reading I'll be referencing off of Mark 1. God sent forth his son. His son was made of a woman. It says that. Made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus Christ came from the Virgin Mary, as we sang, made of a woman, made under the law. It was in the fullness of time. It was when the time was ripe, when it was ready to be done. We have this perimeter drain in my basement that has lots of problems. The caulk doesn't hold up to keep the water from coming out from behind the plastic onto the basement floor. So to caulk it properly, and I've read many bottles of caulk in Menards. I know what most of them say. I haven't found any that don't say this. It has to be dry. That's one of the main things it says on all of them. I've been looking for caulk that works when it should be wet, and none of them say that. And I've looked, or I haven't looked on all of them, but it's just this common thread. So in order to caulk a drain when it's dry, you need to wait until the groundwater comes down out of the ground and quits coming through, and there's maybe 5 or 6 feet of dirt outside the basement, and you're waiting till it dries off, and you want to catch it before it rains, but after it's dry. And that's sometimes a long time, so I've fixed it a few times over the years. That's the fullness of time. Once I know I have a perimeter drain issue, I start watching the weather. We can get close on predictions. I start looking at the longest possible stretches just before. You can actually start caulking when it's raining, because it takes a few hours for the water to come through. And even at waiting a very long time, sometimes it hasn't been totally successful. But in the proper fullness of time, when everything is just right, it's clean and it's dry, I can successfully fix the problem I had. That's the fullness of time. Jesus was watching for when it was the proper time to come to earth. And God sent him. It says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. God and Jesus were up here watching. I forgot to make this comment. Two sermons ago, we had talked about the deity of Christ, his pre-existence. That was before he came to the earth. We had talked about how Jesus was on the throne and looking at mankind in the Old Testament. What we're going to look at today, or what we are looking at, is, on a doctrinal note, we would say the incarnation. It's when Jesus Christ was in the flesh. It was his incarnation. It was how God would express himself as flesh, and Jesus did that for us. So, that's just some groundwork. The first spot where we'll start, and we're going to go through the timeline I have behind me. For those listening in, the timeline is on the board. It's every even year, 0, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, all the way up through 33. That's not an even year, but that's when Jesus left. So 32, then 33, Jesus' age is that timeline, and the title is What Thing Is This? And our main scripture I'll be referencing is Mark 1. How many 0 to 2-year-olds would be in this room? I don't know the count, but just looking or thinking about children that are 0 to 2 years old, a 2-year-old child. If we think of Jesus as a baby, he would have been 0 to 2. We can read about him, so we'll write down. Luke 2, verse 40, is when he was about 6 weeks old. I'll read that. So he was in the temple. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. As a 6-week-old baby, or somewhere in that neighborhood, the verses just prior to that say they were in the temple. The child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. As I think of these 0 to 2-year-old children and what we can read about them, what kind of parent was Mary? What kind of parent was Joseph? What can I learn from that? He was a little baby, little child. The point in this section on a child's level, it's probably a little bit too basic. So here we go, if you're ready. What kind of baby clothes did he wear? Do you think you could hear Jesus crying? I don't know how well he did with going to sleep. Children vary a whole lot on that one. Maybe he was 11 months old when he started talking. I don't know how old or walking. I don't know how old he would have been to start talking. If we think of Jesus, a tiny baby boy, there goes Jesus, his head almost as high as the pews. How would he look? How would it look for Jesus to be sitting with the boys here in the front row trying to sit still in church? Jesus had that, or sit still in synagogue. He had that. That was Jesus being, as he got potty trained, that was Jesus. It's just really hard to actually bring us all the way down. He was a baby. He was held. Mary, his mother, put him to sleep. That was Jesus. That was the baby. So for children to picture that, Jesus as a baby, my mind wonders, how smart was he when he was a year old? How smart was Jesus when he was a year old? We'll hopefully get to that. There's a verse that alludes to that a little bit. It's hard to read into it. The humanity of Jesus Christ against his deity, we almost overlook how simple it is, what he actually was as a baby. So children, you can think of Jesus as being your playmate, and he liked really high swing rides, and he liked to play dare bass better than stick bass. We can think of Jesus in those terms as a real child. The Bible talks about him in that way. We're not going to read that for time's sake. So at age 2, you can read with me in Matthew 2. I know these things, we know them, but we're going to try to reinforce them in our hearts and minds. Matthew 2. I have 5 verses picked out of Matthew 2 to read. And this was somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 months old is what we're reading about in Matthew 2. So we'll put that down under age 2. Matthew 2, 1 to 18. Matthew 2, verse 1. Watch for the word worship when we read these verses. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So this is not very close to the time frame of the shepherds. I used to think the wise men came somewhere in the area of the shepherds, but in my understanding, they came around age 2. Saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." We'll read in verse 8. Herod is being very deceptive. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "This is Herod. Go, search diligently for that young child, for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Herod is lying. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, these are big, strong, wise men. Wise men is Oriental scientists. These were the learned men of the day. Big men, strong men. They came in the house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Imagine walking up to one of the ladies with a 0 to a 2-year-old, somewhere maybe 18 months old, toddler. And these men fall down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I forget where I discovered that Jesus was closer to 2 years old. Is that registered to you all that he would have been nearer to when the wise men visited? That's what I had in reading the gospel. I don't have it noted here, but I have it in my mind now that he was closer to 2 years old when this happened. These wise men saw this. They saw something. They were aware of the times and the signs. And they realize the fullness of time is coming. And here is a baby. We could call him a born king. This baby is a born king. They were worshiping him. They desired that. They desired to see the Lord Jesus and to worship him. And he was only a baby at this point. His fullness of time to present or to be ministering was not yet come. So we're going to skip forward to Luke 2, 41 to 52. Thanks for paging with me. Luke 2, verse 41. We'll write that on the board. You won't be able to read what I'm writing because of how small it is, but I wrote Luke 2, 41 to 52, right under 12. Just to give us a visual of how these things are coming about in Jesus' life. We'll read this entire passage of Scripture. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Don't you know I need to be about my father's business? The word business in original language would be absent. It's just, I have to be about what my father, whatever my father is, I need to be doing that. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus is at the age of 12 and he has understanding that astonishes the doctors. He's 12 years old. This is a very important age in Jesus' life. The Bible records it for us. So, the 12-year-olds, do we have some in here? If you're 12, stand up and we'll see. 12-year-old. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. 3 12-year-olds. That was a very important point in Jesus' life. If we look at the question, how wise was Jesus? And I'll see if I can find it in the scripture reading. They were astonished at his understanding and answers. Verse 47. Wist ye not that it must be about my Father's business? I'm not seeing what I'm looking for. One of the words speaks of growing in understanding or growing in knowledge. Jesus' knowledge as God was being expanded. He was coming at age 12. I would think that he was very much at full capacity of knowing that he's God, yet knowing that he needs to behave as a child. And he may have understood all those things the whole time. We can't understand God so clearly. It defies our understanding. But at age 12, by reading this, we have the understanding that Jesus was very clearly committed. He was a 12-year-old committed to his Father. The doctors were astonished. Now for the next part. I look forward to this part. This part, the scriptures are quiet on. Shall we do that? Maybe for 17 years? Just being quiet. That's what the scriptures were. We won't be quiet here a long, long time. But they were quiet. Silence. There's a time of silence. I can't find a scripture that talks about his life. We have indications of how he was. He was subject to his parents. He was full of wisdom and understanding. Jesus was under authority at 12 years old. So the next time of silence, or the time of silence I'm talking about, is from age 13 to 29. If we would take a smartphone or a flip phone, wasn't going to say smartphone, if we would take a phone, pull it out, put it on silent, and just lay it here. That phone, it could send messages, it could send calls, and it could receive messages and receive calls, but it would be quiet. It would have all the function that any other phone does, but it's silent. It's doing just what all other phones do. It's doing what it's supposed to, but we're not hearing it. That is how Jesus was. And I use that example. I know it's very, very simple, but it's from age 13 to 29. I think those 13 to 29-year-olds, that's a very good, a fairly relevant item that we have. So I'd like to see from, if you're older than 12, which is 13, and if you're under 30, which is 29, you can stand up in the room. 13 to 29. A lot of silence in here. Okay, you may be seated. I'm being a little bit hard on you, but 13 to 29 for silence. This part inspires me a lot. This silence inspires me. He was not passive, as we heard. He was, the idea of being passive was not even part of his life. He was subject to his parents. He grew in wisdom and knowledge, in favor with God and man. That means being in it says he was subject. The 1828 Webster's says, to bring under the power or dominion of. So in school, we have a subject that is math, language, arts, history. Those are subjects, if you will. But if you subject yourself to something on the playground, you subject yourself to the bell. When the bell is going to go, it will have authority over your life. That's what it means to subject yourself. Jesus was subjected to his authorities. His mom and dad could tell him what to do. So imagine he's 13 and he has to go dump the slop bucket, walking out to the pigs. This is, we're talking about incarnate. He was in the flesh. He had hands to latch on a pail and start to walk toward the pig pen with his slop bucket. And he has a full understanding of the entire universe hanging on to that bucket. He knows that. He knows what he's here for. He just lifts it up, dumps it into those pigs. He knows that Peter will have a sheet with him. He knows all those things. But on the other hand, he also knows that he's a child. He is showing how it looks to live a sinless life. He's showing how it looks. That's one important part of it. But more than showing it, he's going to be sinless so he can help the ones that are sinful to be saved. So it's one thing to show it. It's another thing to make it possible for the others. He was subject. So on the board, we have our little timeline, 0 and 2. We saw some activity. 12, some activity. 13 to 29. He was not without action. He was not without understanding. He was not without a life. But what we read about him is, I found it interesting that things are only implied about his life, but not, the Bible just was silent on that subject. And I might be making a little bit too much out of it. You're welcome to point that out to me. I was inspired with that. How does this affect my everyday life? How can believing that Jesus was incarnate, that he was in the flesh, how can that help me? John 1 verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It was almost exactly 2,000 years ago. I think he was born in 4 or 5 A.D., and if the years were counted accurately, they may not, I don't know all that, but if he was going to be 30 years old, minus 4 or 5, as I understand it, would be about right now, 2,000 years ago, he would have been around 29 on this timeline. He was getting right close to his years of ministry. I don't understand all the implications, what Jesus Christ in the flesh can do for us, but Romans 8, verse 3 stood out to me as I was reading. You're welcome to look at that with me. Romans 8, verse 3. Verse 2 and 3. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. When he was walking toward the pig pen with a slop bucket in his hand, he was in the likeness of sinful flesh. His brothers may not have been responding the same way. But when he was walking with the bucket, he was in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he condemned sin in the flesh. His perfection condemns the sin in the flesh and makes him available for an offering. It says he was, somewhere it's talking about the law. And I don't understand all these thoughts are. I don't understand them all the way, just put it that way. He wanted the law to be fulfilled in us. He was subject to the law and he was subject to being in the flesh, but he had the power of the Spirit of God in him. He could live above the law and he could make that possible for us. So by living that way, he gave us an example of righteousness. And then by dying, that righteousness was available to all who die to the old nature. That's how the incarnation blesses me or helps me, is to understand that. So those 13 to 29-year-olds that stood up and had their phones on silent, you can turn them on every now and then. But Jesus was that way. And if we're over 29, for adult, 30 up, just make a comment on age 30, in the temple, when they went to do temple work, the people were 30 to 50. Over 50, they gave instructions. I couldn't find that part clearly, but I have it in my mind that way, that over 50, they gave instructions. Under 30, they were still apprentice, or they were still waiting on the time to be 30. I think that we as adults, that all of us, from 13 and up, if you want to put it there, have times in our life when we are wondering, what is with all this? I just don't know what we're trying to accomplish. I don't know. I'm down here on this earth to fulfill the work of God. Jesus didn't, I don't think he could have wondered those things. But in the flesh, he could have wondered those things. He could have said, I am down here. I am on 12 to 30, 18, 17, 18 years. 17, 18 years of my life are being completely wasted because I am ready to do the work of God. I could have been doing this when I was 15. And God has just this long period, year after year after year. And we're trying to understand, where is God in this? How is he going to work? To make it more practical, one thought I had is for our brotherhood, if we want things to accomplish, to be accomplished, and we're waiting and waiting, and the brotherhood is so slow, it's just not happening. Maybe God is actually the one that is being so slow. Maybe it's not me or my brothers that are moving so slowly. God has a way of, he's more interested in having us prepared for the work. If a 13-year-old, or let's say a 16-year-old, Jesus at 16, would have, if we're going to look at the authority he had, Matthew, Mark, and Luke say that his fame went out. At 30 years old, he was famous. A person is not made to be famous. That destroys a person. That creates pride, arrogance. Those things rise up in a person. But I think that the years of preparation, the years of hardness, the years of working, the years of carrying the slop bucket, those years are what prepare us for God to use us. When God wants the glory, he doesn't want other people getting in the way. He wants us to know that we are actually depending on God, famous or not, because as soon as he was famous, it flipped on him, and all of a sudden he was not famous, and they were after him. And he wasn't being swayed around by those things. Those years of preparation had helped him. Years of silence. Maybe I'm 40 or 52 or 68. And just a couple silent years, I'm just not sure. I think these silent years are okay. They are times of preparation and times of testing. Now remember, the point for me is I have those times in my life. And I know when I'm experiencing them. I know when I have those silent years. Sometimes it's after a long enough time, everything quiets down. I realize that the purposes all went away. And I don't even know what I'm waiting on. Those years happen. My point, I was convicted about this. Let's make it really simple. If I can only see my own silent years, or if I'm only in tune with my own fame, if you want to put it that way, that's selfishness. That just got me real hard. I'm just being selfish. But if I can look at this congregation and these people, and I can see this person, God bless him. That was a beautiful time. What thing was that came rising up out of her life? What thing was this that made him stand up and do that for the Lord? What was that? And if I can see that and bless that, and then I can understand God was working in his life for years up to that, or for months, or a week, or 2 weeks, or whatever the time frame was. If I can see that and bless that and pray into that, or God can use us that way for each other, the blessing is greater than if this sermon is just about myself. If it's about the other people, that we can see that. Or maybe I see that this person, he's just been quite a few years just going along, just going through silence, and it gets a little bit worse than silence. You'll see it. When he was, Jesus, as it was supposed to be about 30 years old, it's right up against 30. He's going to go through a really, really hard time before his ministry starts. You'll see it. We're not there yet. But if I see, this person, he can call and text, just like the rest of us, but he just doesn't make a whole lot of noise. He responds well, and it comes back if you talk. A communication goes both ways, but this person is facing some years of silence. Jesus did that. If I've overread into this silence too much, you just clarify it again, but I was really inspired with silence. There was a man that was probably not inspired with silence. He was coming up to the door at Aldi, and the sign said, open, 9:00, 9 o'clock. This was yesterday morning. And it was drizzly and cold. He was in a hurry. We had got there, and our clock said 8:57. It was 8:57. And we pulled in the lot, and this man was walking toward the doors to go into Aldi. And he came up, and the doors of heaven weren't working. The doors of Aldi were not working. Let's go. You could just see it all over. It was a cold, rainy day. Trying to get into Aldi. So it's a pretty long time. I don't know how long, but it's probably longer than 2 minutes to stand there for 2 minutes in the cold, windy rain and just wait on the doors of Aldi to swing open. But that's sometimes how it is, where we come up to the doors and the manager, bless his heart, I think he opened it at 8:59 and a half because it was not exactly 9:00. It was, the guy couldn't actually charge the manager with waiting till past 9 o'clock to open it. It was just a fraction before. Everything went open as it should, and a lot of other people were coming up by then too. That man was being an example for all of us. But that is how it works. When we face years of silence, 2 minutes can seem like 20 when we're waiting and waiting. That's the years of silence. So my heart to you youth in this, I haven't been looking much at you or talking maybe like I should have, just to the youth. I'm going to say this at a risk. I remember being somewhere between 13 and 29. It was pretty far from 29, as I remember. Maybe in the 20 neighborhood. I don't remember when I thought the decision. But one day it registered to me that some things that the 30-plus group, some of those decisions that they're making, they're just a little bit outdated. It's not registering. I can't, that does not make sense. So what I'm going to do, and this, I thought this, I'm going to let those questions build up. Those questions, I've got a decade to go, and we're going to get up there, and those questions are going to build up. And mind you, when I just had it in my mind, this mark of 30. Once I'm 30, or somewhere in there, a little bit, if those questions do not make sense to me, I'm going to change. It's going to change. And would you know it, as that decade started going past, and it's just behind me, I just made it over 30, a little bit. But as that came up, those years, you start going through those years, suddenly I heard the question I had a counter argument that was pretty strong. Well, I didn't realize there was such a strong, a different way to look at what I always thought was only one way. And okay, yeah, well, let me look at this a little bit. And another couple years, more questions. I'm not saying all my questions went away, because I still keep developing some. But a lot of my questions or ideas gained a little bit of falling in line. And so I leave that challenge with you to capture that. Sure, develop your questions, ask them, and get ready to make the big change when you hit 30. That's what I was gearing up for. I think I was probably pretty silent when I crossed the 30 mark. I don't know how it was for sure. So that's a personal testimony of being silent or of wondering. Well, we need to baptize Jesus. That's the next thing that happened. Or talk about it. Talk about his baptism. It's going to be in Mark 1, 9 to 11. That was our original reading. Mark 1, 9 to 11. I will write that on the board. Mark 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Remember, Mark, the writer, condenses a lot of things. He just worked in lump sums. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." To verify his age, I will tell you what it says in Luke 3, verse 23. It says, Luke 3, 23a, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." A statement like that, to me, registers as God incarnate and God in the flesh and the flesh in God. Because it says he began to be about 30 years of age. His flesh was somewhere in the 30-year mark, but this was God. He was about 30, and he this baptism was to fulfill all righteousness. It might not say that in here. I don't have a lot of comments on the baptism, but that is the other side of the silence, was his baptism. Now, if the Lord lays it on your heart to be baptized, don't wait till 30, but that's when he did his baptism to fulfill all righteousness. That's when John the Baptist was started preaching. We won't spend much time on that. Actually, I don't have any points on John the Baptist. He heralded the Lord Jesus coming. I need to find my place here. Okay. The last main line of thought, coming out of those silent years, coming out of that time of silence, of where is God in all this? We'll talk about his wilderness wanderings. It's Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Jesus is baptized to fulfill all righteousness. The Spirit of God was on Jesus. He had spent 17, 18 years waiting for this moment. Matthew 4, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" Stones be made bread. Let's take that first little section there, and Jesus' response was, "It is written." He quoted the word of God, very familiar account. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So this account is very familiar. Here's what stood out to me. Jesus was being asked after 40 days, so it said he fasted 40 days, afterward he was hungry. He was asked to turn some stones, or a stone, maybe one of the accounts says, into bread. Make some bread. The devil is questioning his authority and questioning who he is and what he's about, and putting this challenge up against him. What Jesus is being asked to do is to, he has the ability to make bread. He could make bread if he would want to. He could touch that stone. He could say to it. So if he would respond to that, he would misuse his ability. He would misuse his authority. He would misuse how God had made him. And he had this silence all these years, learning about his Heavenly Father, drawing close to him, being in subjection. If you misuse your authority, it would be like a policeman that would say, I can drive this fast with my lights on anytime that I'm running late to work, and start to do that to his advantage. Or maybe it would be like if a person has a gift. Let's say someone can sing. They enjoy singing and they can do that. And sometime they would want to use their gift of singing to the glory of God. And we would be having our prayer time, and you would hear this voice roar out across the prayer, a solo. That would be misusing. It would be at all the wrong times using what God has given. So because of Jesus' silence, because of these years, I think that Jesus, and because he was God, he was trained, he was taught, he was not going to do that. There was no way he was going to give in to the devil. He was ready to establish his kingdom. What Jesus needed right at this time was not to show off his gifts, was not to show off his authority or his abilities. What he needed was restraint. He had all this horsepower, but he needed to restrain it. Bring it a little bit under control. Bring it back. He needed humility along with his authority, and that's what he had. And he quoted those scriptures, and the devil turned around. And the next temptation we'll call the temple jump. He was asked to jump from the temple. I don't know how that one got thought up. I couldn't understand it, how you would think of something like that. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, verse 5, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. What this temple jump would be is Jesus had angels. Those were his helpers, and he was going to show off and have his helpers help him. It would be same as trying to draw attention, surrounding myself and getting the people that I normally work with to bring the glory onto myself. Imagine if we would come flouncing into this room and we'd have just this bright orange shirt on and this big story about myself and how I'm going to need a little bit of help and trying to build up this whole case around my own things, my own ideas. To me, that would be the equivalent of a temple jump. When I try my temple jump, I'm going to put myself in there, make this, I'm not sure if I can even describe what I would all see in that, but Jesus, he had humility and respect. He respected the angels. He knew they would help him if he needed it. But it wasn't his to invite that help. He knew he had apostles to call. He was going to call 5 apostles immediately, or very shortly. He was going to call 5 apostles. He did not need to show off to his helpers. And the last thing that the devil asked him to do, he takes him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. This is simply playing on his worship or on the idolatry. Jesus was out to do God's will, not the devil's will, and he said, Get thee hence, Satan. It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. If we've been through a time of silence and we face a temptation, let's remember what's before us, what God has for us. Okay, so a few concluding comments. One is, I have a poem here. It's from a Rod and Staff poem book, and the copyright said okay to use for non-commercial use. The title of this poem is A Single Stitch, and it's going to talk about a stitch dropped. And I wasn't sure what a dropped stitch meant until I found out that a sewing machine or a weaver can be doing things and miss a stitch, and then it loosens up the garment or wherever you were sewing. So God has a plan for us to be stitched together or to be working together. And if I am the one that dropped out, then it creates a looseness there in that weave. A single stitch. One stitch dropped as the weaver drove, his nimble shuttle to and fro, in and out, beneath, above, till the pattern seemed to bud and grow, as if the angels had helping been, one small stitch which could scarce be seen. But the one stitch dropped, pulled the next stitch out, and a weak place grew in the fabric stout, and the perfect pattern was marred for aye by the one small stitch that was dropped that day. One small life in God's great plan, how futile it seems as the ages roll. Do what it may or strive how it can to alter the sweep of the infinite whole. A single stitch in an endless web, a drop in the ocean's flood and ebb. But the pattern is rent where the stitch is lost, or marred where the tangled threads have crossed. And each life that fails of its true intent mars the perfect plan that its master meant. It's by Susan Coolidge. The burden for this was that I can be aware of when my brothers, where they're going, how this is working, and what Jesus went through, and how he came and made the plan for us. He showed us the perfection, but more importantly, his perfection as a human allowed him to be the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. When someone has a moment with God's blessings and authority extra clear, when that's that clear moment, that brother was that was God at work. When it's that moment, let's thank the Lord that that brother was faithful in the events leading up to that. And let's also pray for him in the events after that. God bless you.